Discover community, find hope, and experience God. This is Discovering Hope with Pastor Patrick Severson.
So every now and again, we have what's called Hot Seat Sunday. If you've been around, you've maybe seen this, where we have the three of us teaching pastors are up here, and we field questions in real time from you, the congregation. They're unfiltered. We don't get to screen them beforehand, and then we answer them right on the spot. It's terrifying and beautiful at the same time. We do our best to do so and to answer them, but it is a lot of fun to be up here. A lot of times, we get like hundreds of questions that come in and we can answer maybe 7 or 9 or so per service. Like, we don't get enough time to answer all of them. And just a quick side note, in a little while, we're going to start putting out on social media recordings that we've done at the Hope Studio of us pastors doing that, answering questions kind of on the spot. And so we're going to try to tackle some of the ones that we don't get to and put those out on social media, maybe even put them in a podcast and those sort of things. But the reason why I mention that is because often, almost every service, we get a question along the lines of this. If a person has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, but their life is no different, are they genuinely saved? Have they truly entered into relationship with Jesus? Really, at the end of the day, the question kind of boils down to, how do we know when a person has entered into a saving faith? Like, how do we know? When does that actually happen in a person's life? And I think as we dive into Matthew 25 this morning, it's going to shed a little bit of light on this specific question. Really, we're going to be looking at, what is the measure of genuine faith? What is the measure that God uses for genuine faith in Jesus? Is it to just say a little prayer and confess Jesus as Lord and then just kind of go on living as you please? Is it transferring a rose on the vase, which is a beautiful thing to do when a person's life has been changed? Is it going through baptism? I mean, what is it? All those things are amazing things, but what does it look like when we go from being unsaved, separated from God, into a life-changing relationship with Jesus? What is the measure of faith? And I think Jesus gets to it in Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. And before we read the passage, I want to kind of set it up a little bit. I kind of want to talk a little bit about what's happening here in this passage to help inform as we read it. So Jesus is teaching on a series of parables. Now, parables are short stories, generally shorter stories, that are designed to drive home a specific truth. And he's strung together like 3 or 4 of these parables, and then we get to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. And in these parables, they're all specifically designed to answer questions and to point people to in regards to Christ's return. Because Jesus says, I'm going to return. And so he's giving all these parables about his return. And then we get to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. And we see in these parables, he's talking about things like be prepared, be ready, be responsible, be productive. Like, all of these things in the parables leading up, he's basically bringing home these truths. Do these things. Be ready. I'm coming. You don't know when, but I'm going to return, and it's going to be amazing. And so he's teaching on these things that we get in Matthew chapter 25, and he kind of summarizes everything. And he's describing a time in Matthew 25, 31, where he is in glory. He is in glory, and all the nations are brought to him, and they're separated. People are separated between the righteous and the unrighteous. And he talks about that, and he lays it out, and he basically says, this is how people are going to be rejected or accepted by me. In one sense, in this passage, it's thought-provoking. It is. We read this passage, even if you've been a Christ follower for a long time, what Jesus says here is kind of stunning. When you look at it, his judgment of rejecting and accepting people in his kingdom from this passage based on one thing. And I think we're going to be challenged by it and maybe even a little bit surprised. So let's read the passage. Matthew chapter 25, starting verse 31. It'll be up on the screen. I always encourage you, have it on your phone or tablet or a physical Bible in front of you. as we read it and keep it in front of you as we walk through the passage. Follow along as I read Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, for eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me." Then the unrighteous will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Somewhat of a heavy passage, it is. When we look at it, Jesus, again, he's driving home this specific truth. Now, whenever we look at a passage like this, we have to look at what does all of Scripture teach on this particular subject. We can't just take one verse and then build a theology and say this is what it's all about. That's not how we look at Scripture. We allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. That's kind of the basic methods of interpreting, is we allow Scripture to interpret Scripture, which is what we need to do here. So we need to be careful that we just don't build a theology on one verse or one passage, but we look at what does Scripture say. And we know that throughout all of Scripture, it says that salvation comes by faith and faith alone. Faith alone in Jesus and the forgiveness of what he provides. We ask for forgiveness. He provides forgiveness for our sins because of what he did on the cross. That salvation comes by faith, not by works. We see that in Ephesians 2. I've talked about that a lot. Ephesians 2. We also see it in Hebrews 11. That faith is what brings about salvation, not works. We cannot earn our salvation, but faith is a hard thing to measure. I mean, I wish I could get on a faith scale and step on it and go, well, there's my faith meter, there's where I'm at right now. But we don't have that. I could do that with my own weight, but I can't do that with a measure of my faith. We don't have like this scale that we can look at. Where do we stand in our measure of faith? But in this passage, Jesus provides a glimpse of how he's measuring the genuineness of our faith. And I think it's important for us to take notice. How is it measured? It's shocking, really. When you look at it plainly, Jesus accepts or rejects others based on how they accepted or rejected others. And not just any old people. People who were in genuine need and people who were brothers and sisters. You see, our compassion or our neglect towards others, especially those in need, in one sense, is how we measure the genuineness of our faith. I'll let that sink in for a second. Our compassion or lack of towards those in need, in one sense, Jesus is using here, is kind of a measure of your faith right here. This is how we know, in one sense, if your faith is genuine Again, salvation comes when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we try to move on from our previous way of life. This is the only thing that Scripture says, that by faith you have been saved through grace, not by works, so that no man may boast. So we can't earn our salvation, but works always follow those who are genuinely saved. We see that consistently throughout Scripture, that those who have entered into a genuine saving faith with Jesus, their lives look different and they're changed. That's why it's a dangerous place to be, to say, I've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, but my life looks no different following. I think that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. Because we see consistently, even in the way that Jesus is handling this right here, he says, those who are genuinely saved, their lives are going to look different. They're going to care for the people that Jesus cares about. Works don't bring about salvation, but they always follow salvation. You look at the passage here in verse 41 through 46. You look at the unrighteous and their neglect for the needs of those, especially caring for brothers and sisters in Christ and being indifferent about those folks, reveals the rejection of Jesus. Man, that's heavy stuff. And the people in need that Jesus is specifically addressing, I believe, are Christ followers, because he calls them brothers and sisters. He says, take care of one another. His disciples, brothers and sisters, are his followers. But we also see throughout all Scripture that we're to care for the needs of others in our society, those around us that God puts us in our place. I think of Luke chapter 6. I think of Galatians chapter 6:10, which says this: as we therefore have the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those who are in the household of faith. Like, we're supposed to have this mindset, if our lives have been truly changed, to care for the needs of others, especially those within our faith community. Like, our hearts will be tuned and turned to those around us. So if we have disregard towards the church, and we don't really care about people, I think that's kind of a dangerous place for us to be, according to Jesus. Jesus is crystal clear. The measure of genuine faith is a life that's been transformed. We see this in John chapter 4:8. It says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then we also see in James chapter 1:27, it says this: religion that our God the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. My question, how's your heart towards others? Like, really? Now, this is convicting stuff, but like, how is your heart towards other people, especially those in need? I'll be honest, it can be a little overwhelming when you think about all the needs, even within our church, but when you think about our community and all the problems and things that are out there and people in need, it can be overwhelming. And I'm not implying by any means that the passage is teaching us that it's our personal responsibility to meet the needs of every single person that is around us. We don't see Jesus doing that. In fact, there are times that Jesus stepped in and he healed one, not all who were there seeking healing. There are times when Jesus, yes, he responded to heal many, but he didn't always take care of every specific need. But sometimes when God prompts us to step into a situation, are we indifferent about it, or are we partnering with the Holy Spirit and saying, God, I'm gonna go outside my comfort zone and I'm gonna get involved? Or is our heart toward them just kind of cold, not wanting to get involved? Is our knee-jerk reaction to love or to look down upon others in need? Do things in our mind come and we think, oh, if that person would just get a job or a better job or take care of themselves or be more responsible, or if they were a better husband or a better mom, maybe their life wouldn't be so messed up? Or is our knee-jerk reaction to love and go, you know what, I don't know that person's story. I don't know what's going on in their life, but I want to step in. I want to get to know. I want to hear what God might be doing in their lives I want to have compassion toward them. I think how we answer that question reveals a lot, at least according to Jesus, about the measure of our genuine faith. I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show. It's a fantastic TV show called What Would You Do? And it puts people in these like incredibly awkward situations. And it's fascinating. And they set up all these cameras. These actors play out these scenarios in real world situations. And then people come in and they don't realize that this is all a setup. Right? So they come in and they sit down there at a cafe, and there's two actors there, and one is just being completely inappropriate and showing discrimination because of race and just doing something that's incredibly inappropriate. And then they film all these people's reaction that don't know that it's just a setup. And they do things like a person who's responding in an abusive way, kind of like an abusive relationship, and just berates their partner, and they set it up and they see how people step in and respond. It's a fascinating show. And often, almost always, people respond out of the nature of their character. They step in and they intervene. Now, they don't know what's going on. They don't know it's a setup. They don't know that their cameras are there. They don't know that people are watching. They have no idea what's going on. They just see injustice taking place. And because of their character, they step in. It's fascinating. It really is. I haven't watched a ton of the shows, but I'm always drawn to them when I do, because they just respond out of the character of what's going on in their heart. What's fascinating about this is we see something very similar in Matthew chapter 25. You look at it, the people, the Christ followers, those who are righteous, who are entered into a genuine saving faith, they're absolutely shocked that they are ministering to Jesus himself. Because Jesus said, when you did these for the least of these, you did them for me. And like, when did we do that? When did we even do that, Lord? Man, this is so revealing. They weren't doing this to earn his favor. They weren't doing these things because they wanted his grace or they wanted his favor. They did these things out of the changed heart that they have. And they were shocked by it. They were living out of the character of a life that has been transformed by Jesus. And they just stepped in and responded. I don't even know if they thought they were aware of what they were doing. They were just doing what Christ followers do, and that is step in and be involved in people's lives for the glory of God. And Jesus said, when you did that, it looks like you did it for me. And they were just floored by it, just absolutely shocked. And I love that. The measure of our faith in one aspect is our attitude towards one another. I don't know about you, but I've been convicted by this as I've read through this passage, as I've prepared for this time. When you think about how Jesus is measuring genuine faith in this particular passage, I gotta go, man, do I love others the way that Jesus does? And the way that he's inviting me to? Do I love others as Jesus loves others? And maybe, like me, I'm being convicted by the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've experienced that as we've dwelled and thought on this passage here. What are we to do? You might be feeling convicted. Yeah, maybe I'm not quite as loving or open or willing to get involved in others. Yeah, maybe I'm worried about it being kind of messy if I do, if I step in. What am I going to get myself into? Do I feel even qualified to help? I mean, all these sort of things that we rationalize. And the Holy Spirit is convicting us, going, hey, you know what? I want you to see the needs of others. I want you to have compassion for the needs of others. I want you to step in and be the hands and feet of Jesus. How do we develop a growing heart and love for others as God wants us to? I think we see that here. We see the method of genuine faith. So we've seen the measure of our faith, and now we're going to see the method for genuine faith. First is this, it's pretty simple. Pretty straightforward. Know Jesus. Like, really get to know Jesus. The goal of our faith isn't that we have that we're saved from eternal punishment. The goal of our faith is Jesus. The goal of our faith is to know and experience Jesus. And you know what? We get to experience him now and know him now. I think of Psalm chapter 34, 8, which says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." That we have the opportunity to treasure and to know Jesus now. That's amazing. That's the benefit of our faith now, as we get to know him and to experience him. And not just know about him. Like, there are a lot of people who've grown up in the church or spent a lot of time in church that could say a lot of things about Jesus, but don't really know Jesus at a deep level. I could say a lot of things, the facts about my wife, Christy, how tall she is, what color her hair is, things that she likes, all those sort of things. I could list all of those things because I know Christy. But I know Christy. I know her heart. I know what motivates her. I know what encourages her. I know what frustrates her. Like, I know Christy. And Jesus, we have the opportunity not just to know about Jesus, but to know him. Like, the goal of our faith isn't just to get by or to not experience eternal punishment. The goal of our faith is Jesus, and we get these other things thrown in because of it. So know Jesus. The other method that's going to help us in a method of growing in faith is to put ourselves in position to be transformed by God. Really. Position yourself to be completely transformed by God. In other words, as you grow in your relationship and in your knowledge of Jesus, like truly getting to know him, not only will this change our lives, but when we step in and we'll begin to see others as Jesus sees them. Not only will he change our lives, but we'll begin to live our lives on mission for him. And sometimes that means getting outside of our comfort zones to put ourselves in a position to grow in our faith. Is taking a step of faith. It's going outside our comfort zones. I've said this many times, but it's incredibly rare to grow during seasons of comfort. Don't. I look over the course of my life, the times that I've grown the most are the times I've been the most uncomfortable. Position yourself to take a step of faith, to be a little uncomfortable, to step out when Jesus says, "Hey, I want you to step into this." It could be scary. It could be challenging. It could be uncomfortable. It can even feel overwhelming, and you could even feel, maybe I'm not the right person. I feel unqualified to do that. And God says, "Watch me work." Position yourself to be transformed by him. Take a step of faith. See what God has in store. I want to encourage all of us to routinely put ourselves in positions that are going to soften our hearts towards others. And when we see people in need, to not stand from a distance, because it's easy to cast stones from a distance, but to be in close proximity with those who are in need, to hear their stories, to know what's going on in their lives, to not be distant, and allow God to break down those barriers and those walls. We need to get outside of our comfort zones and get involved in various ministries. I think of Northland Rescue Mission that's ministering to the homeless population. I think of the HC Community Care Center and Food Pantry right here that our church is part of, and get involved to be the hands and feet, to partner with amazing ministries like Love in Action, who are doing amazing things in our community and ministering to the people in our community. I think of getting involved in a ministry here and stepping out of our comfort zones. And when we do, I think our compassion increases. for those in need. And God begins to allow us to see others as he sees them. Now, these are just a few suggestions that I have. Listen to God's prodding in your life. I don't know what that's going to look like for you. What is it going to be for you personally to step outside your comfort zone and get involved specifically with those who are in need? Not only do we have ideas like that that we could throw out, but this morning we have a very practical way in which we can stretch ourselves to grow in compassion, to grow in our understanding of not only the needs around us, but the needs around the world. We're going to partner with World Vision and do the Matthew 25 challenge again. This is an incredible opportunity for us to step in, to grow in the ability to see people as God sees them, to grow in our compassion towards others and let God change and transform our lives. It's incredibly well done. It's very compelling, and it'll help us increase our compassion for others. We did this a couple years ago, and it's transformational for those who participated. Many people said this was such an incredible thing for us to do, for me to do personally, for us to do as a family. In fact, I want us to watch a video here right now that kind of describes it a little bit more, and then we'll give some instructions following. But let's watch this video. So I'd like to encourage everybody, take out your phone right now if you don't have it out already. Take out your phone. And even if you're on the fence, right? You could just jump in, see what it's all about, and stretch yourself. Take out your phone and text these keywords, GFHOPEM25, to the number 56170. Now, as you do, GFHOPEM25 to 56170. Now, as you do, starting tomorrow, you're going to get a challenge. You're going to wake up in the morning, and there's going to be a text that says, hey, today's challenge is this. And it kind of lays it out, and you have an opportunity. Now, maybe it doesn't work for you. That's okay. But get the challenge. Think about it. And then you'll get a handful of other texts throughout the day, a verse or a scripture passage to think on, and a link to a video of someone's story around the world. It's powerful. It's amazing. So you get a daily challenge, you get a video story, and devotion and prayer. It's very well done. It's great. Even if you can't participate in that challenge for whatever reason that particular day, I encourage you, jump in. You'll only get texts for this week. You won't get spammed with texts after, so you don't have to worry about that. It's 1 week. You get a handful of text each day, and it's a powerful, powerful experience. Really designed to help us grow in compassion. And when we think about this Matthew 25, the measure of genuine faith, we go, you know what? I want to live out my faith. I want to grow in this measure of faith, knowing that salvation comes by faith and faith alone because of God's grace, but works always follow. And maybe for some of us are going, you know what? My life hasn't changed a whole lot. Maybe this is a catalyst that will help you get on mission with God, that your life would reflect your profession of faith in Jesus. And maybe for some of you, you go, you know what? Maybe I never even made a decision for Jesus because my life isn't any different. Man, I want to encourage you. Surrender your life to Jesus. Repent. The way you've been trying to live your life hasn't been working. Confess Jesus as Lord of your life, that what he did on the cross paid the penalty for your sin, for my sin. That those who believe, those who accept, Scripture says in Romans, he gives right to become children of God. The reality is, friends, our actions mirror what's going on in our hearts. Our actions mirror the overflow of our hearts. And maybe as we look at our lives and go, you know what, how am I living my life? It's not in harmony with what I profess, and I need to make some changes. Maybe the Matthew 25 challenge is a great first step to help you. Maybe it's getting involved in some of the ministries that I mentioned earlier, but we do things that matter to the heart of God because our hearts have been changed by him. And when we do these things, we'll see the evidence of genuine faith. Faith that has come by grace and trusting in Jesus, but a life that has been transformed, which follows. Amen.